Hello, I'm T.S. Wright, founder and president of the God Center Concept and host of the Kingdom Crossroads podcast. Our mission is clear. We are here to help spark a great harvest, a revival, if you will, across the United States. That's why we are launching the 2540 campaign. Over the next 40 days, we're going to ask people to join us, just like you, and to give a one-time tax-deductible gift of $25 and partnering us with this mission, and then sharing this vision with other people so we can expand our reach in powerful ways. God is calling us to work, and together we can see lives transformed and hearts awaken. You can simply scan this QR code or go to www.godcenteredconcept.com to make this one-time gift to our ministry. Thank you for being a part of this community. Your prayers and your support mean more than you will ever know. May God bless you in all that He calls you to do. And as we always say here, now go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin. Welcome to the show that combines biblical truth with the purpose of spreading revival. Now, your host, T.S. Wright. Welcome, everyone, to the Kingdom Crossroads. I'm your host, T.S. Wright, and I am so glad you could join us today. And, you know, if you haven't already, hit that subscribe and follow button and then give us a like. And we are excited that you are here today with this episode. And we are so glad that you are part of the Kingdom Crossroads community. So I'm going to tell you right now, you guys are going to love this guest. He's got some amazing insights, as him and I have been visiting off air, and I've gotten to know him. And I'm going to tell you right now, you're in for a real treat in this show. And I just tell you, for, you know, this next 25, 30 minutes, just tune in, listen to what he's saying, because he's going to give you some insight. So coming from us all the way in India, okay, we have John Gifta. Now, John here is a guy that does all kinds of things. He is an author. He is a podcaster. He leads a ministry. And this guy is incredibly talented. And I want you to just, and gifted by God, and I want you to just tune in and listen to what he's going to say. So without further ado, John, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, T.S. It's such a joy for me to be with you. And a special welcome to all of you guys watching, listening from around the world. Here I am in India, but let the word of God just bless you. And I'm grateful for this opportunity.
Amen and amen. So let's get this thing started, John. And what I want to do is I just want you to really to help our listeners get a connection here, to for you to talk about your journey with Christ and just really share your story and your heart with them. So, John, take it away.
Thank you so much. So just to give you a bit of background to my story, I started off, you know, in a moment where I was 45 days old and the doctors gave me a death sentence. The doctors called in my parents and said, call your relatives because this baby is going to die. He's going to, you know, not make it for more than any couple of more hours from now. And I was in that moment where all hope was lost. There was no way out. Medical sciences had given up on me. But here I am over 30 years later. I don't want to tell my exact age right now online. But God has kept me alive. And God has made sure that even though medical sciences said it's impossible, God has done the impossible. So that's how my story began, where God did the impossible. But for the most part, my life was just normal in the initial stages. I was just born into a Christian home, just being a nominal Christian. I was a Christian because, okay, you know what? Somebody else is a Muslim, somebody else is a Hindu, and I'm a Christian. That's all I would think of. But what really made the difference was, I'm sure you might have heard of this renowned evangelist called Pastor Benny Hinn. He had a massive crusade in India, in my city of Bangalore, which had over 7.3 million people attending in the three services. And that crusade made shockwaves around the place, where I was like shocked because I'm in in India, where all the focus is on Hinduism. So I was like, I'm already a minority, but everyone was like, you know, Benny Hinn, Benny Hinn. And I was like, what is going on? Even the prime minister attended. And mind you, these are all like staunch Hindus, okay? The prime minister, the leaders of the states, of various states in India, all of these people attended. It was so massive. And I saw miracles in front of my eyes. And that is when I had my first encounter as an 11-year-old kid, when I felt the presence of God touch me, transform me. And I was like, I've never experienced this before, because I thought Christianity was just another religion. But that was when the Holy Spirit encountered me for the first time. I felt like electricity going down my body. I was just 11 years old and I didn't even understand. Like, to be honest, I saw people speaking in tongues and I asked my mom, I thought, you know, they were drunk and they were coming and blabbering. I asked my mom, what's happening? Then, because that is all I had as an exposure till that moment. But that was the moment where God turned this tide around in my life. I started seeking him more. I made my first declaration that night in that crusade. God, I never knew you were so real. Since I know now that you are so real, I want you to use me to tell others about you. So that was the prayer I made as an 11-year-old kid in Pastor Benny Hinn's crusade. And after that, you know, I started growing in God. I started learning as much as I could. And when I was 15, it's when God started speaking to me through dreams, through encounters. And one of those moments, I had an encounter where God took me and showed me a glimpse of hell. And that was very, very scary, to be honest. Like, you know, people say, you know, oh, go to hell, you know, hell with you. But when you have actually seen hell, you would never want to wish hell even on your worst enemy, because that's what happened. You know, when I saw, I met someone I knew, she was crying. She was of a different faith. And she said, if I had known your Jesus, I wouldn't be here. And that is what drove me to that place where I said, God, I don't want to see people going to hell. And I know the reality of who you are. I know the reality of what life after death is. And I don't want that. And ever since then, you know, because of in India, one of the typical things is once you finish your schooling, they'll be like, oh, you have to do engineering. You know, that's kind of like forced upon you. So I had to do engineering. And that's when I was like, okay, let me at least choose aerospace engineering, because I love airplanes and all of that. And then I chose that. And in that process, I ended up being in the largest Christian university in India. It's run by the Jesus Calls Ministries. It's a famous ministry. And Dr. Paul Dinakaran is pretty famous. He's even ministered in India and all of that, in the US and all of that. And I was able to spend a lot of time in God's presence, had lots of amazing encounters. Like, for instance, I'm supposed to wear spectacles. But during one day, I just prayed over my eyes. I said, in the name of Jesus, be healed. The anointing just touched my eyes. And I've never worn since then. I've been healed. So many miracles, and God started taking me step by step. And one of those moments is when I had a huge 8-hour encounter with God. And the Lord led me to read some passages in the Bible. And electricity came out of my Bible. Can you imagine that? That kind of an encounter. And the Lord said, I want you to start an international ministry. And I took a step of faith. And I said, okay, God, I'm starting this international ministry. And that's why you can see the name of my ministry is John Gifter International. Right from day one, I called it international. People said, you're crazy. You call it international after it becomes international. But I was like, no, you know, if God says it's international, it is going to be international. And again, amen. What did I start with? I started with what was in my hand. God asked, like, what's in your hand? Like how he asked Moses, what's in your hand? I said, all I have is my phone. I'm going to start with my phone. I started with podcasts on my phone. And mind you, back then, people in India didn't know anything about podcasts. People were making fun. Like, what is this guy doing? Audio messages. Who's going to listen? That's how people were making fun of it. But years later, God was actually preparing me. God was actually leading me, because podcasting was not even famous back then. But God was shaping me, my skills and all of that. Eventually, by the grace of God, my podcast started ranking up the charts, hitting number one or number two in India under Christianity and multiple things, and eventually started ranking in other countries as well. And, you know, it's like how God told Moses to build an ark when there was no rain. It was like God prepared me in podcasting before it, you know, hit the scenes in India. So that's why you need to be in a place where you're synced with God. Don't worry about other people. And eventually, God started opening doors for me through my YouTube channel, my podcast, and also my books that I've authored. Some of them even became number one bestseller in India. This is Unveil Your Purpose. I love to go deep in helping people find their purpose. And even this one became a number one new release on Amazon in India. It's a short story book on with which I share some life lessons. So that's a gist about who I am and where I am right now.
Amen. Amen. And I really liked the part about where you spoke about, you know, God told you to call it international. So you called it international. I mean, when God gives us a calling, you do it the way that he tells you to do it and directs you. So, you know, to all of our viewers out there, remember this, you pursue God the way he wants to be pursued, not the way you think it should be done, but the way he wants it done. And John is a living example and a testament to just being obedient to the Lord. So, John, you know, you talked about the story of you seeing that vision and you know, and you can call it a dream, out-of-body experience, an encounter, which is how you usually you've been referring to it, of seeing hell and seeing those pieces. You know, talk a little bit more about just some of the things that you've experienced that you haven't mentioned yet that really have laid the foundation for you to continue and to really push you to do what God has called you to do.
Yeah, I will. So for instance, I know, like you said, called it John Gift International, right, on day one. And what inspired me at that moment was, I'm sure you might have heard of Lakewood Church in the United States. It's the largest church. One of the things that inspired me about that church was Pastor John Osteen, that's Pastor Joel Osteen's father, this church, Lakewood Church, and called it Lakewood International Church Center or something like that, even before it had only 90 local people in it. And that inspired me to say that, you know what, if God was faithful in his life, God is going to be faithful in my life. Like God called Abraham the father of many nations, but he struggled to get a single son, right? In a similar note, I was also reading that Abraham's brother, it's very ironical, okay? Abraham's brother had 8 sons and 4 concubines, okay? It's like a guy who was called father of many nations struggled to get one child, whereas his brother, who didn't even have a quote-unquote call, had 12 sons or 12 children. Can you imagine the irony of it? So sometimes in life, you will feel that, you know, God gives you a call and it's more tough for you to walk in that call than someone who's not even called to actually walk in it. Like, to be honest, even in media, right? God called me to start an international ministry. But people who just put some stupid reel out there doing something really crazy, you know, they become viral and they're actually more international than I am. You know, sometimes you feel like it just doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense. But that's where you learn to follow what God is leading you to do in spite of the discouragement, in spite of all the attacks. I have faced a lot of attacks in my life. I have had a lot of encounters like, demons actually attacking me physically. There used to be moments where there used to be scratch marks on my body. And I've even shown photos to people of, or even one of the recent incidents when it happened a couple of months ago, there were like actual scratch marks on my body when the demons attacked. So this is not something you can manipulate or hallucinate. For instance, I'll give you an example. When there was a moment when I actually had an encounter when a demon came to kill me. This was at 1:30 a.m. and I was in the university in the middle of the night. It came to choke me to death. Okay, now if I said this incident happened, you might say maybe you were dreaming. It was a nightmare. It was just hallucination. But my mom called me up. She was in my hometown. Okay, so I was in a residential university 300 kilometers away. So think about this. Morning at 6:30 in the morning, my mom calls me and said, "What happened at 6:30 at 1:30 in the night?" And I said, "Oh my gosh, I never told anybody about this." And then she said, "No, God woke me in the spirit to pray for you because you're being attacked by demons." So that gives you proof or a validation that, you know what, I'm not just saying that, you know what, I just had an encounter or something, but somebody else had was led by the spirit to pray for me. And another incident, I had a moment where demons were attacking me over and over again in the middle of the night. And a pastor friend of mine in the United States called me over, not called me, he texted me exactly at that moment saying, "I saw a vision of you being attacked by demons," exactly at that moment. See, think about this. I'm here in India and a pastor in the United States is seeing that vision. So these are things which led me to know that, you know, even when I don't feel it, there is a greater reality out there and I keep pushing against all odds. I keep pushing against everything. And that's how I keep seeing that, you know, over and over again in different areas, God has led me to even pray, you know, like have encounters where he took me in the spirit to pray over the president of the United States in the White House. And I came back and I was like, okay, this was a wow experience. And 2 days later, another person who's also in my city here in India had the same encounter on the same day at the same time, where she was taken into the spirit to pray over the president and lay her hands on his right shoulder. Word to word, the exact encounter which I had. And so all of these are the reasons I say that, you know what, no matter what, I want to keep pushing forward because I see that there's a greater reality. Just for instance, right now, you know, I'm actually not well. I'm sick, okay, on one side. At the same time, I recently lost my job. I want to just be clear in sharing this. But 3 weeks before losing my job, I actually got a vision from God saying, you know, you're going to lose your job. At the same time, God has given me clear visions about certain aspects. And that's how here I am in this podcast today. So what I'm saying is there's a greater reality than what we see in the natural. So that's why we need to pursue the spiritual things, go deep, keep encountering him, keep seeking him, keep spending time in his presence. And that is what will actually lead you to go against the discouragements, against the opposition, against, in spite of the sacrifices, you will see that that satisfaction comes from doing the will of God alone.
Amen. I just want to say amen to that because, guys, we all encounter adversity. We're all going to encounter things in our life that tries to block us. But you know what? God is faithful. And yes. If he's leading you to it, he'll lead you through it. He will lead you through it. And we, no matter what it is, and that doesn't, and I'm not saying that there's going to be a quote $1 trillion waiting for you at the end of that. Okay. God may not want to give you that because maybe we don't handle that well, you know, and it takes us away from him, but he will provide what needs to be provided for. And so always remember that. And I'm not teaching a prosperity gospel here. I don't do that because that doesn't mean you're going to be rich, wealthy, and all that other type of stuff, but he will take care of your needs and he will lead you through to do his will. Because think of it this way, our time on earth is temporary. Our real riches are in heaven.
Yes.
They are in heaven. It is what we're going to get when we pass from this life. And always have, I always say, have heaven in mind. Paul talks about in Philippians chapter 3, our citizenship is in heaven, and we have a Savior there that we are eagerly awaiting for. Remember that. Your citizenship is in heaven. Don't make this the things in this world your God. Don't make your God your stomach, because those things are going to go away. They're temporary. And so John is alluding to that. And I'm going to just share this story before. I can't remember if I shared it on here. There was when I was back in my coaching days, there was another coach that I knew really well that was he's a very strong Christian man. He shared a story with me that he was listening to he was at a conference. He was listening to a speaker, and this guy was talking about, I don't know who the name of the speaker was, but he was talking about how he came to Christ. Well, he was a drug and a dealer and a pimp guy in one of the big cities in the United States. And he said one night God took the spiritual blinders off of him, and he literally could see demons dragging people into drug houses, into prostitution houses. He said, I literally could see them, and it was scary what he saw. It literally scared him to death. And that's how he came to Christ. Guys, the spirit world is real. Okay. Daniel talks about the spirit world in the book of Daniel. So all of these things that John is talking about are true. There is a reality beyond what we understand here on earth. And so I say all that to say this. We cannot, don't ever forget that we are not physical beings with a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings that just have a temporary physical experience. Remember that, because God created you to be a spiritual being that would be in his presence forever. All we have to do is give ourselves to the one and only Savior that can save us, and that is Jesus Christ. So I say, and I don't mean to be on my preaching soapbox, but hey, when it hits me from the Spirit, I got to say it. So John, we've talked about some of your encounters.
This aspect, just want to add this. Go ahead. Aspect. I wrote this book on purpose, right? A lot of people think, like you said, because you mentioned about the aspect of prosperity gospel, I just wanted to share this. There's this one group that's after prosperity, you know, where God wants me to be well and fine and all of these things. And there's the other one, which is poverty-driven gospel. Like, like I want to be poor and stuff. But I want to get into that place where my heart is, I want people to have a kingdom-driven gospel mindset, where they know that, you know what, for me to run this ministry, I need finance. I can't be poor and broke. I have a call to travel and preach. I even travel to other countries and preached, and I'm hoping to come to the United States very soon. I'm going to be there very soon. So I'm going to be traveling. For that, you need money. You know, I can't just say, you know what, guys, please give me money. Please give me money. You know, I don't want to beg, but because I just look up to God and he's my source. So even in terms of this book, that's where the balance comes from. You know, when I say talk about purpose, some people think about purpose or, you know, they're calling all about a way to become rich and, you know, build mansions and stuff like that. No, it's about you. Like I always tell this, you know, Joseph didn't go to the palace to be in a vacation. He went to the palace to serve people, to save people. You know, God wants to bless you, not for you to just say, oh, look at me, guys. You know, no, God wants to bless you so that you can be a greater blessing. And that is the perspective that I really want to have. I want to bring into people's hearts.
Amen. Amen. And folks, he's exactly right. We're also not driven to a poverty-driven gospel where we have to white knuckle it every place we go, just clench fists and just trying to scrape by every ounce. That's not what we're saying either. So there's, you know, there is that balance in the middle, and we are to, what it is whatever we do have and whatever we're receiving, we need to help build the kingdom of God, because we want to take what's temporary, the temporary resources, to build the eternal kingdom. That is a way to just think of it. You know, you're taking your temporary resources and flowing it into building the kingdom. And so, you know, we're obviously John has got a great mission ahead of him. We have a mission with our ministry. And, you know, and I just say, if you are, you know, if you're financially blessed, you know what? Absolutely reach out to both of us and help us with our ministries too, if that's a calling that God puts on your heart. So, John, I want to go to this. You and I have talked a little bit about some other biblical things and some of your other writings. What I would like you to do is maybe talk about, there was a third book in there that I haven't, I think, well, actually, no, go to your first book. Who Am I? I think it is.
Yeah, that's my first book. Who Am I?
Talk about that book. Talk about what that's a little bit about, and just so people can do that. And here's the way you can help him. You know what? If you don't want to just give money outright, go buy his books. you know, that's a way to help fund the ministry. Yeah. So that's a way that you guys can give and you actually get something in return. So, but John, tell them about that book. Who Am I?
Yeah. So, the first book is on, Who Am I? It's on identity. To be honest, I struggled with identity crisis. I ended up writing my first book on identity. So this is a very simple book to read, where I talk about the simple fact that, you know, you're a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I challenge people to walk with that knowing. You know, for example, if you take a little pet out there, the pet cannot do anything for itself, but you keep staring at the pet. Oh my goodness, this is so sweet. You know, you're so cute. You're so adorable. You know, how we keep cuddling the pet and all of that. You know, this book is something about how I want people to see that God cuddles you, or God, you know, looks at you as his own child. And I want you to walk in that, knowing that you're a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Like when you look at a prince or a princess, or somebody in the royal family walk, even if they're not the most attractive in the room, even if they're not the most talented or the most educated in the room, they walk with royalty because they know that they are royal. That's Amen. The way I challenge through this book, that, you know what? You know, you need to walk with royalty because you are a child of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that's the gist about this book, where I challenge people to walk in their identity. And the second one goes along with it, where I talk about finding that unique purpose and that unique calling, because I believe that every one of us have a very unique voice and a unique purpose. And one of the unique things about me is that I'm known as the Scooby-Doo pastor. You can see a Scooby-Doo poster behind me, and you may be wondering, this guy is a pastor, he's an engineer, and what is he doing with the Scooby-Doo? So one of the unique things about me is that I'm a Scooby-Doo pastor. I'm a Scooby-Doo collector. I got world records for my Scooby-Doo collections, and I use Scooby-Doo as one of my tools in ministry. Now, nobody thought Amen. About it. People think like, oh, can you do sports ministry? Can you do music ministry? But nobody thought about Scooby-Doo ministry. And I was like, there are thousands of people in the Scooby-Doo world. So now let me share something with you. Here you have a Scooby-Doo toothbrush. Here you have a Scooby-Doo flash drive, okay? And here's a Scooby-Doo, you know, the shades, you can see. I just brought three of them to share with you. Now, here's the Amen. Thing, you know, all the three of them are Scooby-Doo, but they're uniquely shaped and uniquely designed to perform a special purpose. Imagine the toothbrush was in this size. You can't use it, right? At the same time...
Yeah, it'd be a little large for my mouth.
Too large, exactly. And at the same time, if you have to have the shades in this size, you can't fit it here. It has that uniqueness to it. So what I say is, it's the same Scooby-Doo, but then it has unique functionalities and it is designed in a unique way. And that's why I say that, you know, it's the same God and it's the same message of salvation, but God uses us to be designed in unique ways, to use unique strategies to proclaim the gospel. And like I use Scooby-Doo, I challenge people to use their unique spaces and their uniqueness to bring out the gospel. Let me just share this unique piece that I have. You might be familiar with also Looney Tunes, right? Have you heard of Looney Tunes?
Yeah.
Yeah, so this is actually a mashup between Scooby-Doo and the one of the Looney Tunes character called Tasmanian Devil.
Yes, I remember him.
So you might see the similarity between Scooby-Doo as well as Tas. So what is unique is that, you know, it's like a mashup. And I always tell people, it's the same God, but how when we mash up with him, we bring in a very unique product like this. That's what God wants to do in and through our life. You know, nobody wants a copy. Nobody says, you know what, let me go to the second best place in the world. Everybody wants something unique. Oh, I go to KFC, I'm going to have chicken. I go to the McD's, I'm going to have pizza. Nobody goes to KFC and orders rice, right? So, you know, so that's the way I always challenge people, that, you know, like the way you have the same Scooby-Doo with a mashup with Taz, when you mashup with God, you'll come up with a very unique product, a very unique calling, a very unique purpose, and a very unique space in which you can reach the very unique crowd that God has assigned for you. That's my challenge.
Amen. Amen. And I love your little analogies and correlations there. That's great. Using the Scooby-Doo is great. I mean, that was entertaining to watch that. And so you guys are watching this and thinking how so simple that is, but you know what? It may be a simple concept, but it's a true concept, and it's an easy way to explain things. When, you know, think about this. What if you're relaying this information to a child? Well, you can use some of these type of simple things, just like John's doing, to relay these gospel messages to children. You know, children love narrative, and they love those little comparisons in their world. And so when you can draw up on that, that is a powerful, powerful tool to sharing the gospel and God's truths to them. So, man, I hate doing this, but we're going to have to start wrapping up. John, we could talk for 3 hours like this, and I would go on and on and on. And I have no problem doing that. I've got a million questions. And I think one of the things that I'm going to tell people is we're going to have John back on the show. So that's definitely going to be something we want to do later on, and maybe in another month or so. But John, and I'm going to encourage all you people to, you know what? You know how you can give to his ministry? Buy his books. And even if you're not going to read them, buy them for somebody else to read. Yeah. And you can follow him on YouTube and you can do that. But here's what I want you to do, John. Share with them how they can purchase the books and how they can connect with you.
Sure. I'll just make it very quick. So you can get my books on Amazon. All the books are available. Just search for my name, John Gifter, and you'll find all the links, whether it's on Amazon, you'll find all my books in it. You go on YouTube and search for John Gifter, you would find my YouTube channel. You go on any of these podcast platforms like Spotify or Apple Podcasts, and you can search for my podcast name is Fuel for the Soul with John Gifter. But again, you search for my name, John Gifter, you're going to find all my podcasts. At the same time, you can find me on Instagram. I think I have almost 21 plus K followers out there. All of these are easy for you to find. So you can stay connected. Would love to hear from you. And if you want me to come and minister on your platform, I'm interested, and I would be loud to do that as well. So thank you so much again, TS, for having me. I just want to close with one word. Again, another Scooby-Doo analogy, but you know, Scooby-Doo is so scared to face the world. And you today may be in a place where you feel scared to face the world. But every time Scooby has Scooby snacks, Scooby goes from the scaredy cat to be brave enough to face that monster. And today, that is the word I want to tell you, because the Bible says in Jeremiah that that God's word sustained me. And like how Scooby-Doo gets brave by having the Scooby snacks, you will be brave to face your world by your Scooby snacks, and that is the word of God. So I want to end with that by challenging everyone to feed on God's word, and you will definitely be brave enough to face the world.
Amen and amen. So of course, we're going to include all this in the show notes, and we'll get John's website and all that type of stuff where you can get the books, and he'll send me all those links, and we'll put those in the show notes. And I just want to say this has been awesome, John. And we definitely want to invite you back on the show here in the near future and get him back on, because there's a couple of topics I think John and I could dig into that you guys just might enjoy. But anyway, without further ado, I want to say on behalf of myself and John, I want to say that thank you for being a part of the Kingdom Crossroads community. And thank you for, you know, following us. And I ask, if you haven't already, follow and subscribe, give us a like, as that helps us to continue to bring you that great content. And again, on behalf of myself and John, I'm T.S. Wright. Go forth in total surrender to the one who owns and reigns over all creation, and let the great harvest begin. We want to give our big shout out this week to Buffalo, New York. The community of Buffalo has been a big supporter of this show, and I pray that you will continue to do so. And we're asking everybody in Buffalo to please help continue to promote the show and to help us expand our reach. We thank you so much for your support of this community, and we pray for your continued support, and we pray for you, Buffalo, that God will continue to enrich you and bless you in all the things that you are called to do in Him. Thank you so much. And again, we tip our hat to you guys in Buffalo, as we hope at some point we can come and visit you and have you guys coming on the show and enjoying being a part of what this movement is all about, and that is to spark a great harvest. Thank you so much, and God bless every one of you.